It's nearly impossible to 100% prevent ice dams on a roof. Mother Nature, combined with complicated roof designs, make it a matter of when, not if, the next ice dam will form. But it's very possible to reduce the frequency and severity of ice dams. Hi there, welcome back to another episode of our podcast, Airing It Out with AirVent. My name is Paul Shelsey. I host AirVent's in-person attic ventilation Ask the Expert seminars offered every winter to roofing professionals all across North America since 1998. Today, we're discussing a common wintertime occurrence in cold, snowy climates called ice dams. Yes, it's true, completely stopping ice dams is wishful thinking, but there are steps to take to fight them and lessen their impact. To help us dig into the details, let's welcome to the show Sabrina Johnson, president of KDCO Home Improvements in Akron, Ohio. Welcome to the show, Sabrina.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to discussing ice dams and how we can avoid them, hopefully.
Yes. Thank you, Sabrina, for your time and being on the show. I first met Sabrina at the AirVent seminar in Cleveland a number of years ago. And what I remember about you then and now, Sabrina, is your willingness to be a resource to AirVent in our effort to further educate the industry and homeowners. This podcast is just the latest of many ways you've made yourself available. Thank you, Sabrina, very much.
I really appreciate all AirVent has done for us to help us contractors in providing the best products for our homes. We're working on trying to make all of our homes the best investment possible for a homeowner, and you guys have done a great job in assisting us in doing so.
Thank you. Thank you, Sabrina, for saying that. Sabrina, let's briefly explain for our listeners exactly what an ice dam is, and then we'll chip away at how we can help prevent one. An ice dam is a blockage of ice formed at or near the roof's lowest edge. It develops when the snow on a roof melts unevenly, primarily due to uneven roof deck temperatures. It usually starts near the peak, where it's warmest, and refreezes when it reaches the lowest, coldest section of the roof. Any additional snowmelt in the next hours or days runs into the dam, and then the real trouble begins. The draining water hits the dam and begins to back up, penetrating underneath and between the roofing shingles, finding cracks that can ultimately lead to an interior leak. Sabrina, just how common would you say are ice dams in your market in the Akron, Ohio area? How frequently do you hear from homeowners specific to ice dam related issues?
They are very common, and more times than not, they may have just gotten a new roof and new insulation, and they're still getting them, and they don't understand why, but they're still getting them. And there's a lot of variables as to the whys. And with our milder winters going from warm to cold, we've seen even a bigger increase of these to date than back in the day.
That makes sense, Sabrina, and that's a nice little segue to this observation that's been shared with me. I've heard from contractors, Sabrina, explain complaint phone calls about ice dams don't surface if there's a long period of slow snow melting. That's not when the calls come in. But if there's a quick warm up and the freeze-thaw cycle is sped up, or if there's any substantial rain with already frozen gutters, then the complaint phone calls start coming. Has that been your experience, Sabrina?
That's exactly it. And we always know when we're going to get those calls. And it's like, people are like, can you bring the rake out? I've got stalactites growing off of my gutters. And we don't like to hear that, but that's what they want. And I'm like, I've got a better idea, but we've got to discuss a little bit more than a rake.
Yes. So. Yes. And I understand why homeowners think it's grab a rake, it's grab a tool, But you're right. That there's a better way to tackle that. Not too long ago, Sabrina, we polled roofing contractors in northern climates where ice dams are common to learn what they find when responding to an ice dam complaint. And here's what they said. I have a list. Damaged shingles, water damage to the house overhang, the soffit, the fascia, damage to the roof deck, damage to interior walls and ceilings, wet attic insulation, which can then reduce its insulating capability, gutter damage, damaged interior floors, framing damage, mold, dangerous icicles dangling from the roof edge, just waiting to fall, ants. That caught me by surprise hearing about ants. Ants, because they are attracted to the moisture, and damage to items stored inside the attic. That's a pretty long list. Are we missing anything, Sabrina? Is there anything you want to either comment on, add to, anything from your perspective?
Absolutely. There's probably one that's very dangerous and people don't even take into consideration. But the ice dams that are creating leaks inside your attic, a lot of people have electrical cans, lighting, ceiling fans, etc. Yes. And when those get wet and now you've got popping wires, you could actually have damage as well.
Yeah, that's a great observation. I had not even thought of that, Sabrina. Thank you. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, there's just so much damage that can be done with ice dams. And you might have a new roof, you might have new siding, but the minute you start getting these ice dams, and also you're damaging your new shingles if you're raking them, you're throwing salt on them. It's just you're deteriorating a product that was meant to last generally in our climate 30 years, supposedly. That's what the manufacturers are saying, but we're not getting it because of this.
Right, right. Yeah, when I hear suggestions about grab a rake, usually from a homeowner, that's not fighting the cause of the ice dam. That's just a quick measure to deal with the immediate situation. We'll dig into that in a bit. Thank you for bringing up the electrical in the attic. I did not think of that.
Absolutely.
Let's segue to fighting what causes the ice dams and what will attack the root cause. Yeah, the rake might get rid of the snow. You might use the rake to get rid of the snow and the ice, but that's not what caused the snow and ice dam to begin with. Our survey of roofing contractors in northern climates revealed what amounts to basically a 1-2 punch to fight ice dams. One, attic insulation. Two, attic ventilation. And we'll explore each. We'll begin with insulation because, frankly, It's the more important of the two, the insulation. The attic insulation helps keep the warm air in the house interior and out of the attic. We don't want it escaping into the attic. It's the first line of defense against fighting ice dams. It's the best step toward minimizing the amount of warm indoor air escaping into the attic. The goal is to help keep the attic temperature as close to the outdoor temperature as possible so that any snow on the roof can melt evenly. Sabrina, what's been your experience with attic insulation's role in the fight against ice dams?
It's absolutely huge. When you update your insulation, it's an absolute must to make sure, though, that you're putting in true baffles, so that they are down into the soffits so that you can allow proper air infiltration for air intake and allow that heat to exhaust out any of your ventilations at the ridge. And I like to use, and this is what I tell my customers, use a bag of cotton candy as an analogy. Everyone thinks because they go up into their attic and they see insulation that they're insulated. That is not the case. Using the bag of cotton candy, you buy it at the fair, it's big and fluffy, you're all excited. You leave it out on the shelf for a couple days, in an insulation's case, a couple, 15, 20 years, and it shrinks. Mm. What people don't realize is insulation, fiberglass especially, it's the air trapped between the fiberglass is your insulating factor. So as that bag of candy cotton candy analogy, insulation shrinking, you've now lost. You're not at an R30 anymore. You're now more probably a 15 or 18. So visually, you think you have insulation, but it's not doing its job. You need to update, especially with fiberglass, your insulation. And like in Ohio, we now see R30 is not enough. You really need a 48 to a 52 R value. And I feel even in Florida, maybe you should, because you pay for air conditioning. You want to keep it down. Everything rises. So it's just a much better situation to be properly insulated. Also around your bath fans, when you're taking a hot shower, all that steam and condensation. The important thing is not to have just a plastic tubing that's like the stretch accordion style that comes with the pack for the fan. Get an insulated tubing and connect that to your fan and vent it out through the roof, not through your soffit.
Yes.
Because now you're creating even more of an ice dam scenario. But you want to vent that insulated tubing up through your roof through a 4-inch Brone vent connection and vent it that way. So, yeah.
I like that, Sabrina. Yeah. So
very, very important.
I like your cotton candy analogy. Thank you. That's another new one for me. Thank you. I'm going to use that in seminars. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love the trades, but there's just so much that, and everyone comes in and they use these really big terms. I was like, no, let's keep it simple. It's really easy. And it's like, everyone knows cotton candy. Let's do this.
Yeah. I think homeowners can relate to it. Sabrina, you mentioned baffles a minute ago. For our listeners who may not be familiar, an attic insulation baffle helps to keep the insulation from blocking the intake vents inside the attic. Just for our listeners who might not be familiar with that, that was a great. And again, you gave me a nice little intro to the next section. You've mentioned R value, and I'm going to talk about R value for a minute right now. Attic insulation has R value. The amount of attic insulation that a house needs, an attic needs, is expressed as R. That's R as in Robert, R value. And it depends on your geographic climate zone, how much you need, R30, R40. There are charts and additional information online about R value. Anybody could Google it if they wanted to get more information. But thank you for bringing that up. So we have insulation. We have a proper amount based on our geography. Ohio, I'm in Texas. You've already mentioned Florida. Make that right. Some indoor heated air, Sabrina, from the house interior may escape and find its way into the attic. That's very possible.
Sure.
Dare I say likely. Some of it will escape. And that's where the attic ventilation comes into play. The second line of defense in the fight against ice dams. The attic ventilation assists the attic insulation's goal of keeping the attic temperature as close to the outside temperature as possible. And it does this by bringing in cool outdoor air into the attic through the intake vents, the soffit vents, and then that airflow then flushes out warm, moist air that may have built up inside the attic, and it pushes it all through the exhaust vents. As a result, the overall attic temperature is closer to the ambient outdoor temperature along the entire underside of the roof, reducing the roof's hot and cold spots that could invite ice dams. The snow-covered roof can melt now as uniformly as possible, which then minimizes the chance for ice dam. That's how we hope it should work. Doesn't always work exactly that way. Now, Sabrina, I just mentioned intake vents and exhaust vents. In our industry, they combine to form what's referred to as a balanced attic ventilation system. Now, today, you and I, we're focused on ice dams at the moment, but I just want to mention that attic ventilation can provide year-round benefits for homeowners who are looking to fight summertime heat buildup, wintertime moisture buildup, and of course, ice dams is what we're talking about right now. But we won't enjoy any of those benefits if the attic ventilation is not balanced. Again, intake and exhaust vents. Sabrina, can you please explain, based on your experience, why balanced is key and what can go wrong if it's not balanced, specific to tackling ice dams?
Absolutely. Without balanced ventilation at both the soffits and the ridge areas, or at least 2 to 3 feet from your roof line at the top, no matter what system of ventilation your roofer has installed, the chance of ice dams will continue. Your ridge vent, your power fans, even your box vents, which don't like them, but sometimes necessary evil, or just that's what's available, will not work optimally without addressing both. So as a total package. So I feel sorry for the homeowners when a roofing contractor comes in and puts up a ridge vent and they're saying, hey, I'm putting this up here for you, and this one has a true baffle system, and we're going to cut back the ridge 2 to 3 inches so you're going to get optimal exhaust. Well, that's great. And the homeowner's thinking, I've got the perfect roofing system now. No, not the case, because the sider that sided their house 10 to 15 years ago, they put up soffit, but it's not vented. Right. Or worst case scenario, and I see this all the time, if you get up in that attic and you pull your baffles out and you don't see daylight, guess what? Even if you have a vented soffit in your overhang system, that tells me a contractor did not cut back the soffit so air can actually flow into your attic and assist for that cool air intake heat exhaust system.
Yes.
So now you do not have the perfect scenario to help reduce as much as possible your ice dam scenarios.
The daylight gives the homeowner a visual that there actually is a clear path for the air to come in the soffit.
Correct. That's exactly
it. Sabrina, I like that you used the word total package a few minutes ago. It is a package. It's a system. It's a package of intake and exhaust. Thanks for explaining it that way. And if I may just piggyback on your tail there, word of caution for the listener, don't overlook the intake vents, as Sabrina just said. It's been our experience at AirVent, and talking to contractors like yourself, Sabrina, most of the attention for attic ventilation goes to exhaust. And that is somewhat understandable, somewhat, because exhaust vents let the built-up heat out. They let the collected moisture out. They're top of mind for most people, homeowners and some roofing professionals alike. But as you said, Sabrina, it's a system. It's a package. You need both. And I'll let it go there. But it is a total system. Anything you want to add before we move on, Sabrina, about it being a system?
Well, I think we've pretty well covered it. But for those that already do have aluminum or vinyl soffit systems, then they're like, wow, I don't want to have to redo that. The beautiful thing is AirVent actually has products for as the roof is being completed that can also be integrated to allow cool air intake to help force that heat to the ridge. And I want to thank you guys for making that product available to us as contractors, as well as to the homeowners. It's a great benefit for everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, Sabrina. You're referring to the edge vent, which can be installed into the roof, and you can do that while you're replacing a roof. It's an option. And there are other brands out there as well. And it's for that reason, if you don't have access to the soffit or don't want to hassle with the soffit. Thank you for those kind words, Sabrina.
Sure.
I'd like to briefly revisit attic insulation, please, just for a minute. In our best practices seminar, Sabrina, attic insulation contractors have emphasized it's important to double check the R value. There's that phrase again, R value of insulation after the ventilation has been corrected or improved, just to make sure it's sufficient, to make sure it can handle the corrected flow of air in the attic. And this goes beyond your cotton candy example, where the insulation could settle and lose some of its R value over time. This is a comment that you've improved the ventilation. Well, let's make sure that the R value that you had in place is enough, because the insulation is not only intended to keep the interior heated air from escaping into the attic, it's also intended to keep the cold wintertime attic air from making its way into the living space. So ventilation, you'll be bringing in more outdoor air into the attic, which is good. You want to get that air in the attic. Let's make sure the R value is sufficient. I think that covers it pretty good. Now, absolutely. Ice dams obviously are a northern climate concern, but they can and do occur in southern climates. And so if the attic has proper insulation and proper ventilation, it'll give the roof a fighting chance against ice dams and Mother Nature in all climates. I interviewed Jake Jacobson, vice president of SF5 Construction in Little Elm, Texas, not far from Dallas, where I am. Not that long ago, I spoke with Jake, and he shared with me the following. I live in the South, and although we obviously don't get the same amount of snow and ice as the North, we do get an occasional heavy snow and a few ice storms. I have seen ice on the north side of the roof in the early fall. Not only is this adequate time for a potential leak to occur, but when the ice melts rapidly, the falling icicles create a dangerous situation. I always tell homeowners it only takes one storm to create an ice dam that could cause a leak. And that was from Jake down here in the Dallas area. So it's not just up north, Sabrina.
I'll tell you, and I never even thought about them having that type of situation. I thought they had the perfect weather down there.
So I moved here in 96 from Philadelphia, northern climate, obviously, and the weather's different. But we get the occasional Mother Nature wintertime visit. Not like Ohio, believe me, but we do get the occasional.
I might trade you at this point.
Yeah. A trade's good once in a while.
Yeah. Our snow, but for one day. Then it can go
just
away.
Just a brief trade.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Sabrina, when I think of ice dams, I immediately think about the exterior roof on top of the house. My mind immediately goes to the rooftop and actually to the lower edge of the roof. Chuck Power, regional sales manager, Gulf Eagle Supply in Michigan, shared with me what he calls an interior ice dam. I found this interesting. Here's what Chuck told me recently. Wintertime living space water vapor from cooking, cleaning, showering, breathing can escape into the attic, where it can condense on the colder underside of the roof deck. It can then refreeze and lead to wood rot and mold to deal with. And Chuck calls that an interior ice dam. I found that interesting, his description of that, Sabrina.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you, that's, again, where the bath fans, where they're not vented properly, that adds to it. And yes. Just all this condensation that is rising, because that's exactly what happens. What people don't understand, again, the lack of insulation and proper R value, people will start looking at their ceilings and they notice a circle and they're like, I have a roof leak. They immediately think it's a roof leak. I'll go to the home and I always ask to see the stain first. If it's not in a bathroom or kitchen where there's a soil boot, which might the rubber collar might have cracked, fractured, and started leaking, I want to see what they're seeing. And I started noticing, especially here in the Akron area, I'm like, something's going on. May I get in your attic? And they look at me really funny. They're like, no one wants to get into my attic to see a roof leak. I'm like, no, I really do. I get up there. Lack of insulation, lack of ventilation, and all the nails. When you start changing weather from the warmer to the colder and that attic's cold, you will start seeing frost on nail heads that are coming through, holding your substrates and your roofing product down. And as it warms up, as the day progresses from the morning frost, you are actually seeing dripping coming down. And all these years, the insulation's gotten wet, and now all of a sudden, it's dripping through and staining the ceilings. So that's... This is an excellent conversation that leads into all these little what people are seeing, but they just, no one knows what it is. It's just, oh, well, you need a new roof. No, you don't need a roof. You need proper ventilation and attic insulation.
Yes. I like, Sabrina, thank you for sharing this. I like that you want to see what they are seeing first before you get into your diagnosis. That's excellent. I love that.
Thank you. So that's, I just, there's just so much attention that could be given to the consumer. And there's so much education like AirVent yourself provides to us as contractors that we really need to take it seriously. And every year things are changing as home building is changing and the codes are changing. We really need to have people like you that bring this to our attention and travel around America and make these courses provided for us so that we are more knowledgeable and can assist our homeowners to the best of our abilities.
Thank you. I was going to save us until the end, Sabrina, but again, you gave me a nice little intro. Contractors like you, roofing professionals who share with us, allow us to enhance our content. Because, you know, we're a manufacturer. We're not out in the field like you are. So you sharing with us, and then we bundle it together and we bring it to whatever market we're visiting, it just really, it strengthens the education. So thank you for that. I was going to say that for the end, but thank you. There's one final piece to the ice dam puzzle I wanted to visit, Sabrina. It's the water protective membrane installed on the roof under the shingles. It will not help fight the formation of the ice dams, but it will minimize the damage ice dams can cause once they have formed on the roof. Sabrina, do you have any final thoughts or recommendations you'd like to make about ice dams for our listeners that maybe we didn't mention already, or something we did mention, but you want to drive it home a little bit stronger?
Absolutely. You just brought up one of my biggest pet peeves of the roofing industry. Ice and water shield pretty much now is code mandatory on homes. However, the product must be installed properly. There's a huge difference of installing ice and water shield and installing it properly. And the reason I say, now that we're talking about ice dams, just laying it on the leading edge of the and rolling it up 3 feet high or 6 feet high. If your soffits exceed 12 inches, you must then roll a second layer of that. The situation is, take the extra step and make sure either you as a contractor or as a homeowner, your contractor is rolling that ice and water shield down over onto the fascia or gutter line by about an inch and a half. And the reason I say that, you create an ice dam, generally the water's getting into your gutter, it's freeze-thawing, backing now up over the fascia onto your roof deck.
Right.
The situation is, ice and water shield, if it's rolling from your gutter and going up, that means your ice is now where the fascia board, the vertical board, your face.
Yes.
And the roof decking meet. There is a crevice and crack there where those merge.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have ice that's building up, pushing back. So even if you have ice and water shield on the top of the decking, it's not being stopped where the fascia and the roof decking meet. It can still back up in that wedge and work the plate of the home, run down the wall, down over a window or door header, rotting the sidewall of the house, as well as going into the attic.
Right.
So very, very important for homeowners to ask their contractors, how do you install your ice and water shield? Could you please make sure to roll it over onto the fascia gutter line so that we can help to hopefully eliminate that from backing up between those two substrates?
Yes, that's an entry point that you've blocked and protected. I like that. Great, awesome. Sabrina. Good tip.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sabrina, I want to thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate that you're sharing your expertise with us. As I mentioned a minute ago, it's really impactful when contractors are taking the time to share what's gone wrong for them, what goes right for them, just sharing. It just helps the industry at large. And I want to thank you on behalf of AirVent, the industry, and homeowners for your time today and in the past. And I'm sure we'll be reaching out to you again in the future. And I want to just say thank you again for your time today, Sabrina.
Well, thank you very much for having me and bringing to the podcast industry such important information that we keep trying to get out there. And this is one more mode of being able to do that for both the homeowners and the contractors. I appreciate you having us today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Sabrina. Ice dams are a real problem. Please give them the attention they deserve. Well, that wraps up this episode. Please leave a review on iTunes if you'd like, and be sure to let us know if there's a topic you'd like us to cover in the future. Maybe you'd like to be a guest one day like Sabrina was a guest. Drop us a note on the podcast page of our website, airvent.com. And please come back for more Airing It Out with AirVent. I'm Paul Shelsey. Thanks for listening.